I hope everybody can hear us.
I hope so. Says we got 7 watching. But I cannot tell who they are.
Well, I don't know because I can't see from here, but how's your audio?
Good, man. How about yours?
Sounding good. Let's get this thing started.
Let's do it.
Welcome, and guess what?
What?
The camera dropped because my phone done fell asleep.
It don't want to sleep. Well, it sounds like you need to wake it up. Oh. It's a black screen, but John's fixing to get it back up and going. What's up, everybody? Since we got 7 watching, but I cannot tell who they are. I know Dean's in the house with us. We have been battling with Facebook for the last probably 30 to 45 minutes trying to get the stream to go through Facebook like usual, but for whatever the reason, Facebook has been blocking it or something, I don't know, but we got it to go through YouTube, so that's how we're going to do it for now, and we will, I guess, revisit the Facebook stream for next week. So who are we got here? Type in the, if you are logged into YouTube and following us on YouTube, type in the chat box and tell me who's watching. Because it says 5, but I can't see whom it is. And what have you been doing archery-wise here of late? There's not been much going on, of course, just simply because of this whole pandemic. Well, hopefully the state of Georgia is going to be getting back to up and going here soon. I know it's supposed to be Friday, but we shall see. You getting it, man?
Yeah.
I know earlier you was about ready to.
I gotta go focus.
With. You was about ready to box. Says we got 8. I don't know who all is in here. We need some interaction. And the reason why we're doing one of the reasons why we're doing the live podcast versus just recording them is simply because it's more fun. There's, with interaction from you all, we have something to talk about or whatnot because, of course, there's not much going on. So with that being said, by being able to communicate with you guys during the stream, it just kind of makes it a little fun, a little more fun, because talking about nothing is no fun. And if we don't get anybody logged into YouTube and chit-chatting back and forth, I don't know, it's going to be not much fun either. And eventually John will get turned around and maybe he and I can chit-chat instead of me just blabbing on. Well, no, yes, we're redneck, or, we're high-tech rednecks with a bunch of equipment that we don't even know how to operate. Okay. Oh, I see it. Brandon Hick says, what's up?
How's the audio, man? Everybody's seeing what they're seeing, doing what they're doing. How's the thing going? I guess I can't see streams, so you just have to tell me, or you turn it just so we can both watch it. So, I don't know. We got a few folks watching. Mr. Hicks, how's the world treating you?
Bear and Mr. Brandon.
Yeah, see?
Hey,
yeah,
you can see us.
Yeah.
Well, the way I hear it is we got a face for radio, but not video.
Yeah, we have new locations, if now that everybody sees us.
It should be a lot clearer.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe that's where the viewership is way down.
Because they can actually see us
versus just being able to hear us. How is the quality? Just out of curiosity. I mean, we're going to continue to work through the Facebook problems. I mean, but for tonight, we had already said we were going live, and then it was jamming us around, so we had to just improvise, drop back and punt, and make something happen. So with all that being said, we really don't know how the quality is, how it sounds, because I've got to turn the volume down on my computer in order to be able to not get reverb back or yeah, echo back to the mics.
See, this thing is just, I don't know.
And we've got service, man. We've got as much gigawatts as the FBI.
Or a lot of them, anyway.
But it just froze it.
Stream health, it says good. All right.
Well, the video is fine, but the audio is still going. It looks like. Did your phone go back to sleep?
I don't think so. Unless it's unplugged over there.
We're working through this. We're doing the best we can, I promise you.
It's supposed to,
yeah,
this is something like
that. Did it go back to sleep? Mm-hmm. Well, can't nobody want to see how it sounds anyway.
We'll get it figured.
Brandon said the audio is very muffled. I do hear a lot of bass in mine, but I can't get to the mix.
Well, you can get the mix, but that don't mean nothing.
I hear a lot of low.
Everybody wants lower, though.
Low, how low can you go?
In podcasts, they want low.
Dean says you are over-modulating.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out.
Well, Dean and Brandon, we appreciate you guys being our test dummies.
This is another failed attempt to do live.
Maybe we should just stick with Archer.
I told you, you know what? We may just have to start figuring out something to talk about and
go back to the
recording podcast.
But this is so much more fun when we can go back and forth and.
Yep.
I don't know, man. The whole Facebook thing. That first time that we got it to work was...
Yeah, it was glitchy, but it ran.
It was glitchy just because of the gigawatts in the building.
But I think right now the Facebook is...
You got plenty of gigawatts here. Yeah. I ain't never seen the download speeds of 500 megs until today. But I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened with the video, but irregardless, sounds great now. Good deal. Can you just change that screen back to the other one that we had? That one. And we'll just leave it there and we'll
Oh, just, now I can turn around here and play with crap while we're talking.
Yeah, because you ain't.
Nobody can see me.
Yeah. I mean, so with this whole, and I guess we'll just kind of talk through it. Again, we're working on everything, trying to get it figured out, trying to get it learned. Maybe by the next 10 tries, 10 weeks, we'll have it all figured out. But with all that being said, with this whole pandemic or staying sheltered kind of slowly fading away, John, what do you think is going to happen after this weekend? I mean, are you...
Well, I'm hoping that we can get back to shooting some bows. I'm hoping that we can get... somebody to have some shoots going soon. Everything in the first part of May has been canceled too.
Right.
So like the spring turkey was postponed. The Georgia Cup's been postponed. So there's been a lot of things that, well, we don't know. They're up in limbo. But the governor says we're opening, even though he has took a whole lot of static off of it, you know.
Yeah, he's definitely taken – he got kind of thrown under the bus by Trump, and he's taken a lot of heat from a lot of officials within cities from all over the state. Personally, I don't know that I agree with Friday was the right date. I mean, I don't know exactly how I feel about it. I think – well, I don't know. I think it was a little early. I think the first would have been just a better date. I think it would have sounded better.
I think some of the reason he's trying to do a soft open.
Well, I get that.
I get that. I think the first would have been a little, it would have sounded better. It would have given us a, you know, another week. Personally, I wish we'd have opened 2 weeks ago, but I mean, you definitely got to protect everyone. There's no doubt about that. And like Mr. Joel and I were talking today, I would not want to be in a seat where you had to make a decision right now, just simply because there is no winning.
No, I mean, which way
no
you
matter,
go,
no matter what gonna, decision you make, you're going to lose.
You're going to have a guy who's going to say he should have opened 3 weeks ago, and you're going to have a guy that he needs to wait a month.
Yeah, I mean, we can't sit in limbo for forever. Everybody talks about the economy crashing. Well, of course, I mean, but you can't stay closed down forever. I mean, where's the money going to come from that's going to continue to go in people's bank accounts from unemployment and this, that, and the other? I mean, there's a lot of people, such as myself, that hasn't even received a stimulus check yet. What about those people that are, you know, haven't received it and can't work? Fortunately, I'm blessed enough that I can still go to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting the amount of hours that I was getting before all this, but some hours are better than no hours, and I'm definitely not going to complain.
Oh, no.
So what about all those folks that aren't receiving unemployment, have been denied for whatever the reason, and yet can't go back to work? I mean, they've got to eat.
We're darned if we do.
It's a no-win situation.
I just want to shoot my bow.
I just want to shoot arrows and be around people again and get back to some smiles, because there ain't been a whole lot to smile about here of late.
No, maybe sleep. That's about all we can do.
That's all you can do. Sleep and grill out. And then when you grill out, you don't call nobody because you got to stay 6 foot apart. You can't have no more than 10 people and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, yeah.
So you post all these pictures online of some cold drinks and brats and food and don't call nobody.
Nope. Well, my plan is to shoot my bow this weekend.
Where?
I can't tell everybody, because if I tell everybody, then we'll have more than 10 people.
So where are we going and what time are we going?
Exactly.
That's what I want to know.
You going to be gone?
Yeah, I'm going to be gone. I'm rolling out Saturday afternoon. I tried to get Saturday off, but Junior has become essential out there on the yard. And, yeah, well, dude's throwing a wrench in things. Now that he's an essential employee of a different part of the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude going to get him on some wheels.
Well, you know, the other side of that is that he's making money. So,
oh yeah, and he's enjoying it. Thing, so,
yeah.
I don't mind waiting.
But yeah, so we're gonna.
So where are we shooting bows at? That's what I want to know. Since maybe I just take the whole day off and go shoot while he works.
It won't be Saturday.
Oh,
Sunday. It'll be Sunday or Monday.
And we'll chase some turkey birds.
Yeah, we'll see. I may go over there to the DNR office and shoot a little bit, just to shoot a little bit.
Are you going to go to Charlie Elliott, or are you going to?
I haven't even been to Charlie Elliott. I just think this nice little spot over here to shoot.
Dude, that place is beautiful.
At the office, the DNR office?
I rode around. I used to hunt Chickasaw Hatchie a good bit when I was much younger and lived in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not been out there. And I tried to figure it up. It's been
Mr. Bird.
It's been 17 years or so since I've been out there. 16 years. And you know, down there, 2 or 3 years ago, they got pelted with tornadoes or storms.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got their butts kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And that place still looks like a train wreck with fresh growth on top of the down trees and whatnot.
So how long was that? Last year? How long has that been?
2017, I believe.
So that's a couple of years. So you got all that thick undergrowth through
mm-hmm.
it now, right?
Just growing through all of it. And
then trees just laying down because nobody's doing nothing with it.
While we were riding around, and that place is almost 20,000 acres, we rode legitimately for probably 2 hours. Now, we ain't riding at a high rate of speed, of course. And I was getting out doing some walking, trying to find some turkey sign and whatnot. But they are looks to be, and this is an assumption that I made while I was there, they look to be building a range, maybe a pistol and rifle range, and potentially archery range, because we come up on a platform that had a sign on it about shooting bows and being strapped in by harness. But where it was sitting there was no archery targets, and there was no targets where the berms were being built and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't know who to ask. I mean, I may be able to ask Nolan Callaway or whatnot, but of course, he's not in that part of the state.
Well, there's the person that's in charge of all of that. We could probably ask her.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could probably ask Steve's wife, Miss Jen. But anyway, I mean, it's just nice to see those tax dollars and whatnot being spent to better serve the hunters and archers and rifle shooters. I mean, that, you know, 2-3 years ago, however long it's been now, when we had the increase in hunting license.
Uh-huh.
What we went from, I think it was like $19 a year, $21 a year, yep, when you bought it online, mm-hmm, and then now it's like $50. And when it was $21 online, like, I didn't have to pay for Nathan's tags. I mean, he was still a youth,
yep,
and his tags were free. Well, now it costs me, I think it's $50 for mine and $5 for his, even though he's still a youth. Yeah. And this will be his last year as a youth.
Just gets you, because
personally, I don't have any issue with that, because I see things such as what happened over here off 278, mm-hmm, at the DNR range, Charlie Elliott being kept up like it is, what looks to be happening at Chickasaw Hatchie. Dude, I mean, because the more that we try, and what's up, Danny B, miss you too, brother, a lot. What we try to do with Georgia Archery and the shop and having shoots and whatnot and growing the sport, that is being, let's see, how do I put this? The state of Georgia, it's like we're working with the state of Georgia, and we're really not working directly with the state of Georgia, but what we're trying to do and other shops around the state are trying to do by growing the sport, what the state's doing is going to give those people, yeah, and us a place to do it at.
So they also can see the potential that there's more, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot more fun than just either just shooting in the backyard. I mean, like we've said before, many times before, what's your favorite form of archery?
Yeah.
3D.
Well, yeah.
Or field.
Field is my favorite.
Field is your favorite. 3D is mine, yeah, personally, because I've never shot a field round, and I might would enjoy as much as I do 3D.
You just might have to come do that.
But with that being said, what about all those guys that, and we see them all the time, that come in the store, they just got a new bow. Looking for a place to shoot. I'm proud of what the state of Georgia is doing.
Oh, yeah.
And I assume, and I don't know for 100% certainty, but I assume
that it's happening
elsewhere. This happening, yeah, elsewhere because of the additional
funds
from, yeah, from license sales and et cetera.
That's right. So and the
I didn't even know that was happening down there.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and so, you know, how many other places could it be?
And exactly, on? Like you know, he said that we wish you had a bow range up there. Well, they may be working on that.
You know, excuse and me. That would be, maybe we need to reach out to Jen or somebody at the DNR office and ask that question.
How about we?
So I mean, because
more work for me. But
it's not like you ain't got nothing to do anyway.
Yeah. So why don't I call the DNR or talk to Jen and see if, first off, give me locations of everything in the state for archery, and then see if they got future plans.
Yeah, I think that's a jam up idea. We can put
that on the map.
So, maybe even create a second map, because I mean, what's on the map now? I mean, I guess that's something we can talk about or figure out. But what's on the map now? You know, is local 3D ranges, yeah, for tournaments. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't really have public places on there, so to speak.
Yet,
but either we could create a totally separate one.
Yeah. But we could add that into different areas. So.
Yeah, I think that's a jam up idea. I mean, you've got nothing to do and have had nothing to do for weeks. I'm surprised you've not already done this, being that you have not had anything to do. I don't understand. I mean, what's the problem?
You're being very facetious.
Maybe a little bit. Danny, I can't teach you to shoot. John is our level 4 coach, as you know. He's a far better archer than I am, so that would be the fella you would need to ask.
I don't know about archer. I don't know if I'm a better archer. I'd never say I was a better archer than you.
I don't know, man. You
but I have been coaching longer.
Well, yeah, for sure.
But you know, what they say.
You almost beat me in that that little competition we had the other day. We almost beat me.
I had the first look. My first shots were better than my last shot.
Well, your first three were way better than mine. I mean, mine were all jar lickers on the first three, and then we went to the one arrow shoot off, and I inside and outed it.
Yep, I caught it.
You caught it half shaft, but I got lucky and inside out.
But, yeah, that's what we're doing. Also, while the people are listening, by this evening, after this is all said and done, there'll be some more shirts up on the...
I saw there's a little one up swaggy. Now. There I was, saw there a was one, swaggy
there
swaggy.
There was one up now, and there'll be a bunch up more because I got better internet than work does. So
yeah, we do.
And I
want to say to you while doing this, man, I appreciate the time and the effort that you've put into getting this up and going here at your home, because, of course, you've got better internet, but this is so much more comfortable and better jiggy watts
and laid back.
Laid back. Yeah, I'm sitting in the Cadillac seat right now, but this thing is nice.
You're in the reclining
seat. Y'all can't see me, and that's a good thing, but this thing is nice.
It's a boss chair.
Is mama's chair?
Yeah,
I'm sitting in mama's chair.
So, but yeah, as far as that goes, things we will be doing, which I'm gonna throw this on to Robbie like he did me the other day. Robbie, if you was gonna build a 3D arrow, why do you build the 3D arrow you build, and why do it?
All right, so you're asking me if I was building a new 3D arrow, what would I build?
What's the reasoning for front of center? Give me the arrow build or your build. Go with
all right, yours. I'll start with my build. Of course, we typically run a little fatter shaft just simply because trying to cut and pull more lines. I'm not a super big proponent of a extremely high front of center, 12-13%. You know, like on mine, I've got 130 grains in the nose on a PS23 350. I run the top hat system, which is the glue-in insert with the screw-in field tip. I like that system a lot simply because those screw-in field tips are tool steel, and they are hard as rocks. I shot through two walls. I don't even know what you call that board, but I shot through two of those boards from the store towards the range.
T111.
Yeah. We beat the arrow out of the wall after it was poking through the
other side
with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
We beat the arrow out, and you cannot find
which one
that
it is.
Point
yeah.
in the dozen arrows that I have built. You can't tell which one's which. But anyway, back to my arrow. I run a PS23 at 350 spine out of a CT9 at about 59 pounds, 29 5/8 or so draw length. Four fletched with a 2¼x3 vane on the back of it, biter knock. Again, like I say, I'm not a super big fan of a bunch of front of center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm by no means a professional at any of this. In my experience, a more balanced shaft has flown better for me. And in my little bitty pea brain, if I've got an arrow that's wanting to run 150, 160 grains up front, and I've got little vane on the back, the front is, I know it's pulling, but the vanes have got to work extremely hard on the back side of the arrow to steer it. For me, I like a more balanced shaft.
Mm-hmm.
I would say for a 3D arrow, 130 is about as much as I'm going to run out front, maybe 140, but that's it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to four-fletch it on the back, and let it roll.
Okay. Well, what made you pick the 23 and the spine you picked?
Well, the spine was just simply because of my draw length and draw weight. I didn't really get much of a choice in that unless I just dropped back on draw weight. I mean, I could lighten my draw weight and go to a lighter spine, but I wouldn't want to do that. To me, that'd be kind of cross-canceling itself because at that point, the arrow becomes lighter and it's more susceptible to wind and my whole mic thing. I done got so comfortable. My whole mic thing is about to fall off the table.
Loosen that.
It's good. It's still clamped. I feel it. It's good.
I said loosen this so it'll swivel.
Oh, dude, I'm good. I promise. I'm comfortable.
So now you're sitting back up. I was just didn't want it to fall off on the floor. You started talking, and it didn't go nowhere.
Yeah. No, I mean, the reason why I chose a 350, I mean, that's kind of where I need it to be.
I got you.
Just with my draw length and draw weight.
And fletchings?
I like a four-fletch.
Okay.
The four-fletch kind of come about an accident a few years ago. Put a set of strings and cables on a buddy's bow. He builds his own arrows. He four-fletched them. Of course, I had one arrow to paper tune the bow after we put the strings and cables and timed and tuned it and all. So when I shot it through paper and got it bullet holed and everything was done, he come in to pick it up a few days later and we were talking. And he was just telling me that when he started four-fletching arrows, he noticed that his longer range groups tightened up. And for me, that's telling me that, you know, it's just correcting quicker out of the bow, and it's giving the arrow better stability. So with that being said, I mean, if it tightened up his longer range groups, for, again, I'll go back to my little bitty pea brain. If my 50-yard or 60-yard groups are tighter, my 20-yard groups has got to be a little bit tighter. I mean, whether they're noticeable or not, I don't know.
Yeah,
but if I'm going to do something and find that my groups are tighter at longer ranges, I want my group tighter at shorter ranges too. Just gives me more confidence, if anything. But what I noticed that day, that this happened to be a Saturday, and we were actually hosting a shoot, and I was playing with some Tank 23s at the time. So he actually fletched me six of them and brought them to me. This was on a Saturday. 5 o'clock rolled around, and I darted over. We all darted over to get some practice in
on Saturday.
Because we don't really get to shoot during the tournament, so we try to shoot it afterwards before pulling targets.
That's right.
And we all noticed how well they were fine. I mean, they just looked good. So Steve and I kind of got to playing that next week on four fledging some areas, and we shot them at longer ranges, you know, out to 100 yards out behind the ace, and they tend to group tighter. So if they'll group tighter at 100, which I ain't shooting nothing at 100, if they'll shoot tighter groups at 50, they got to shoot tighter groups at 20.
Yep.
And whether I can shoot the difference out of it, it's a confidence thing, more or less.
So I have not four-fletched my arrows because at the time I was still shooting a blade.
Right.
And so
I'm shooting a Hamsky drop away.
That doesn't work.
It would make it much more difficult.
No, I don't. The contact problem.
Right. Right. That's what
I mean. So I haven't, and they were all fletched, and I just haven't refletched them. I'm running a Easton Superdrive 25 with the 130, same point you got in the front, the top hat, screw in, tool right. steel. And I'm running three of the X vanes, the bigger X vane, not the biggest one. But
you're running a 3-inch X vane.
No.
So you're running a 2.25.
Yeah, 2.25. So not the smallest one, the middle size one, I guess it is. But, and I have been using those vanes for a couple of years now. And I've just found that they flew good. At one time, everybody was doing the Blazer thing. And I didn't like the profile of the Blazer.
I'm not a super big fan of, I mean, and it's not that it don't work, because it.
Oh, it's proven
itself that it works.
But it was just that the height, you know, especially on like skinny arrows, like hunting arrows, they just look like a big old boat paddle on the back.
Right.
Versus if you put the other. And the same thing is you can go lower profile or smaller when you put four fletchings, because essentially you're picking up the offset in the fourth fletch.
Right. And to answer your question, Dean, yes, you could go. And again, please know that I am by far not a professional at any of this. I mean, I'm just winging it. You could go to a taller vane and drop the fourth and probably achieve the same results. But I don't like a really tall vane.
Well, that's what I was saying. What I was saying.
I like the idea of the smaller compact.
But the other side of it is that the guys who've actually four fletched Blazers have found better groups with it.
Really?
Yes. So the four fletched grouping is and
it's real big out west.
Mm-hmm. Well, they shoot longer distance,
and you know they don't get to jack up 25 foot in a pine tree and shoot a pine goat at 25 yards.
No.
I mean, their average shot's probably 40.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. I mean, that's not something I've ever been able to do hunt-wise. and I don't know a lot of guys and talk to a lot of guys that do it on the regular out that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming being that their environment that they hunt in is far different than what we hunt in, their average shot's further than ours.
Yes.
And the four-fletch is really big out west.
Yeah, and it's I think it's a stability and carry on the back half. You know what I'm saying?
That's something that Steve, and I'm not trying to interrupt you, that's something that Steve and I noticed when we started playing with the four-fletch 2 years ago.
Yeah, they hit higher.
They hit higher, which, in my pea brain, which is about the size of the smallest peanut that can be harvested in Georgia, is that it would create more drag, and it's, of course, a little bit more weight.
Yeah, your brain now, would we're work talking, the other way.
We're talking, what, 12 grains or something? So not something that's...
But 12 grains on the front end, you have been. We can notice a difference from 90s to 100s.
Yeah, that's when you get out that far. Yeah, absolutely. But what we found... And, like, I would take three arrows or four arrows and three fletch them with the same vein, and then I would take three more arrows and I would fletch them with four fletch with the same vein, and they would tend to hit higher.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really no rhyme or reason that I'm smart enough to figure out other than it just corrects quicker and spirals tighter. I mean, I don't know why the trajectory would be flatter and hold it longer, but that's what we found.
Yep. Well, that was one of the questions, and so here's the deal, is I feel like if this is the way we're going to have to go, we're going to figure it out so that we can get interaction, and it's great to have you guys that are watching.
And we appreciate you much.
You know, but the other side is that we'll have to start doing more pre-work on what we're going to talk, you know.
Yeah, like, so,
I mean, right now, if it was shooting season, right now we would say, hey, there was this many people here, and that may be, if we were shooting.
Well, it is shooting season, there is no.
No, it's corona season.
Well, yeah. On my offset.
No, we tight. You got them a good bit.
Yeah, I think it's probably, if I had to guess, it's probably 2 or 3 degrees.
Yeah,
I run a straight with just an offset left. Personally, out of it. Even as far back as my Bowtech, I never did do it on my PSEs.
Left and right tested.
But the Fanatic that I shot for that one season, and then for 2 years now off of all of my primes, I have not had an arrow that wanted to turn right out of the bow with no fletching on it. And you've witnessed it. My bear shaft, being able to shoot a bear shaft. I mean, we were out at the football field, last year, maybe the year before, and I was able to keep a bear shaft on a 48-inch round bell at 100 yards.
Mm-hmm. Some people turned left.
Some arrows never even hit the bell.
Mm-hmm.
By not just a little bit either. I mean, but I was able to keep my, at the time, I want to say I had X10s at the time. I was able to keep my, no, I had my, no, I don't remember. May have been my X-Impacts, or it could be my X-10s. I can't remember.
I thought
for
we
sure.
Put the X-Impacts because they're still set up for outdoor. I think we
no.
Just
well, my X-Impacts are now set up to hunt with because I wanted to play with that shaft with an outsert versus just regular insert. But anyway, so I guess it was my X-Impacts. I was able to keep those arrows on a 48-inch round bell at 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to get my bear shafts to hit right next to my flat shafts at 20 and 30. It's just been luck of the draw. It ain't been by no professional tuning by no means.
Well, you know, you watched me slap them together too, playing that game, the tuning game with the bear shaft.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I can move a millimeter and then it shows up like 3 foot on the bear shaft.
It's, right.
You know, and I did that on purpose.
But
you know?
None of my arrows kind of get back. None of my arrows have wanted to turn right. Yeah. So I fletch everything left.
Left, because there's no reason to fight the way it's naturally turning.
To me, it's, in my pea brain, it would want a knuckle to some degree coming out of the bow. Once it left the string, if the bow naturally wanted to turn it right and I fletched it left, it would knuckle just slightly before the veins took over and got it in line. So,
well, some people have told me, and I, you know, why that happens.
My belief is what George said.
What's that?
It's how the strings twist.
That's right, because we know what strings we shoot, and they all come out left.
Right. And watching him in the video that they done, or maybe he didn't demonstrate it. He just expressed it on a video, and I want to say it was a podcast with Chris B. and Tim Gillingham. They flipped the string.
Mm-hmm. Top to bottom.
Top to bottom, and it changed the direction.
Rolled it the other way, yep.
So my belief is how the string is twisted and how it's served. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you serve in the same direction of the twist. So with that being said, if it's wanting to go left, it's going to go left. So I just fletch them all left with a mm-hmm. straight clamp on maybe 2 degrees or so.
That's right.
Just enough to, that you can see it.
Well, that's good. That's some good information for folks that know what they're going, what's going on and how the things
are. I don't know that I know what's going on. That's just what I do.
We've been running. This podcast has actually been up for 42 minutes.
Yeah, and I kind of like that little segment. I mean, I don't know. Again, I wish I could tell the five that are watching now, and maybe you can, being logged into the Georgia Archery YouTube. I'm actually just on my personal YouTube account, so I can't see who's all online.
It doesn't show me who's
watching. It doesn't show you
who's
online.
That right now, there's four watching us.
But I kind of like that, and actually enjoy just a little bit of explaining about my arrow and why I shoot it the way I do. I mean, it just kind of happened by chance. I'll give you another example of something that I did not expect when it comes to arrows. When we start to get the 4-H program going back in 2017?
3 years. 18? We're on third year now, so 18, 19, 17.
Anyway,
17.
You know, when we realized, with that being my first year coaching the 4-H program, I didn't know that the cloverleafs would shoot the distance that they shoot.
They got to get there.
Especially, and you got a fourth grader that stands 3 foot nothing, weighs 42 pounds soaking wet, drawing 18 pounds on a compound. He's going to have a hard time getting 44 yards or 40 meters.
Yep.
We can get there. We're shooting 60 pounds at 29 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Little fella ain't doing that. So with that being said, Steve and I was in the shop one day kind of discussing, all right, what arrow, and we were going to play with a couple of different arrows, and we had ordered some extremely light. We ordered some extremely light vectors.
We still have some vectors.
And we still have them. We still sell a bunch of them.
Yep.
But at that moment, I'd have lost my paycheck, because I would have bet that vector weighing, we'll call it 250 grains,
mm-hmm.
would have hit higher in the target at 30 yards, which is where we shot it from, and from inside the store out into the range, would have hit higher in the target than the Gold Tip Entrada 600 that we were comparing it to.
Yep.
The Entrada was probably, call it 350 grains. I don't remember the exact weight. We did it with a diamond prism. We'll set it like 20 pounds and 20 inches of draw length.
That's right.
And Steve's got a much shorter draw length, and that bow fit him a whole lot better than it fit me. It actually fit him really good, believe it or not. But there's a picture of it somewhere on Facebook, but of Steve shooting this little blue prism.
But the Entrada, being heavier,
yeah, it was
carried,
like 24 inches long with an 80 grain glue in, 2.46.
But it was heavier.
Oh, yeah.
By a long shot.
100 grains probably.
And it carried.
Oh, it hit way higher in the target.
Yep.
Than that extremely light vector did.
That's right.
So a lot, and I would have been one that said, no, man, the vector, but no, momentum came into play.
Mm-hmm.
Momentum carried that arrow further, being heavier.
That's right.
Well, another good thing about it, I mean, you get these kids that can't get to 44 yards without aiming at a pine cone in a tree. That arrow's in the air longer.
Mm-hmm.
That heavier arrow is less affected by wind than that vector would have been. So I don't know.
It worked out pretty good, because I had a lot of kids moved over to them. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah. So that's the arrow segment of the day.
And that's kind of like, you know, with Dean asking me, that's kind of the reason why I've gone the direction I have. It's not mm-hmm. because someone said, "Hey, you need to run this." It's just been playing. It's just been trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
And when I find that it works, I always resort back to my four fletch PS23s, but I'll tinker with something else, a different vein. Three fletch versus four, little more weight on the front, a little less weight on the front, but I'll always just tend to go back because
it worked.
I know they work.
That's right. What if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I mean, I like to tinker because I feel like I learn from it, and if I can learn something by tinkering, and mm-hmm. Steve's the same way, and he and I, we get in there and some days we're butting heads about why we're feeling the way we're feeling, and then some days we're on the same page, but in the end, we always seem to, like, come to a conclusion where we both agree, and then we start trying to rationalize, like, so why did it work that way?
Yeah.
And then we...
Reverse engineering.
Then we kind of reverse engineer it, and then we'll get back to, but it could have... I don't know.
A whole lot of fun.
It is fun doing it. And we're able to take that from what we learned onto our customers' builds. And
I shot the same bow manufacturer forever. And so I sort of knew where everything should have been. So now being at this new, which I haven't tested it a lot, but a new bow, which, you know, you get to play with new things.
Well, ain't really had the opportunity to play with.
No, I shot three tournaments.
And then there is just no tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're going to roll this one out. So
what is the topic for next week? So if you're going to throw me under the bus.
We'll get you that offline. We'll probably post a poll up and get some interaction on Facebook. And then we'll move it over and see. We're going to still try to get Facebook to work. I mean, I honestly, you know for a fact that what we sent out today should have went fine.
Yeah, because it was saying from the software that it was going.
And I pulled it up on the Facebook page.
And it's showing that it's going, but it's not going through the final door, so to speak. I mean, I don't...
It didn't populate to the page itself. I don't understand why. So, until next time.
I'm Big John.
And I'm Robbie. We'll see you.
Deuces.